Well, let's grab our Bibles then, and let's get to the book of Romans. Hopefully you have your notes, you've printed them off, or maybe you're just writing on them right on your iPad or whatever, but grab those notes as well. And you say, I can't do that. Well, just grab a sheet of paper and write some notes down. Maybe write a couple things in the margin of your Bible as well. So we're continuing on in our study of the one another's of the New Testament. And this is an exciting one. And some of it is just because it's such a rich both picture and linguistically in the Greek language. It's just been a delight for me to dig into and enjoy. And I've preached through this verse before, but as I prepared for this message, my heart was moved, frankly, and challenged again, and it seemed like the Lord kind of opened up my heart and mind better to understanding what was going on in the overall passage, and I just rejoice in that, and I trust I can communicate some of that to you tonight. So, let me see if I can remember myself. So, we talked about greeting one another. We should do that in holiness. That's really important. We need to esteem one another. That was last week. I'm trying to think. It's slipping my mind now. I think the other one was it? No, that was esteem one another. So show honor to one another. What's the second one that we did? Does Eric even remember? He's thinking too. It's slipping my mind right now. I'm sure, yes, you're yelling at me. Maybe those of you on Facebook, what was the second message in the series? You can type it out and Eric will wave his hand at me and tell me. All right, but we're coming now to another, really a good outgrowth, and I like how this follows esteem one another because it really actually has some dovetailing together. So let's walk through the passage, and we'll fill in the notes. I hope it'll open up your understanding. So I had a little bit of fun with the outlining tonight. Notice I used that the two consonants, the T and the W, to kind of get our focal point of each of the points. So look at the intertwined context. And what I mean by that is there's a couple of main points that we need to remember as we come to verse 10 of chapter 12. And then we'll look at the twin challenges. Yes, what's the second message?
Admonish
one another. That's right, exactly. Way to go. Thank you. Who was that? Oh, you figured it out. Eric figured it out. Let's give him a brownie point. I'll give him a piece of candy from the candy jar later. There we go. Okay. All right. So then we'll see the twin challenges from verse 10. And then finally, and just forgive your pastor, I was having a little bit of fun, twiddling about the application. Now, what do I mean by twiddling? All right. Well, have you ever twiddled your thumb? All right. Thumbs. All right. There we go. Twiddle your thumbs. And it's like doing repetitive motion to help you think. I don't know if you're weird like me, but I at times do some of those things. I'll never forget being caught in the middle of a meal. We were waiting for dessert to be served, and I was observing and watching this. It was a big chest of drawers. It was out in the dining room, so I'm sure stuff to put silverware in and so forth. It didn't have any glass on it to put display things. It just was, ladies, you would know what it's called. Anyways, I was noticing that one of the drawers went too far in, and my mind was just working over, okay, how do you put the stop in on the back of that to make it work? And I was, unbeknownst to me, because I was thinking so deeply about it, I was kind of rocking in my chair and whistling. Well, the conversation around the table eventually totally stopped, and they were all just looking at your pastor. I was in college at the time. So hopefully I've matured a little bit since then. But I was twiddling. I was trying to figure out how to do this. I'm not a great woodworker, so it was just kind of energizing my mind for a minute, taking me out of this world for a second. So we want to take some time tonight to twiddle about how do I apply these principles to my life in the here and now, even in the midst of our staying at home and all those kinds of things. So I hope that'll be a blessing. Let's back up then. Let's read verse 10 of chapter 12. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. So actually in this passage, we have two one another's, and yet they're, again, as I kind of mentioned, they're twin challenges. They're intertwined with each other. So we'll look at both of these one another's. I've entitled it just kindly affectioned one to another, because that really is somewhat the theme of the verse. Let's remember the context. So as we back up on our notes, what is the intertwined context here? Well, Paul, as he's come to chapter 12, is now beginning a lot of the application of what he's taught in the first 11 chapters. And that was a strong theologically rich and deep discussion of our salvation, the doctrine of justification, redemption, all those things. And so he says at the beginning of chapter 12, as you can see, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, in light of God's mercies, that's his reference back to the first 11 chapters, in light of God's mercy to me, to you, in salvation, what are we supposed to do? Well, we're supposed to present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. This is proper worship and ministry. And then verse 2 kind of gives us the point that we're looking at here, as you can see on our notes. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? Why do we need to change our thinking? Why do we need to work away from worldly thinking and living? So that, middle of verse 2, that you may prove, that you may test, study, understand what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So you can know the will of God in its completeness and how good it is, how acceptable it is for us to live, how perfect it is. And so the context here, that first point of the intertwined context is this is God's will. Verse 10 that we're going to study tonight is a part of us living out the will of God. Since he's my God, he's redeemed me and saved me, I've offered him to my body and life as a living sacrifice, and I'm studying out how to do God's will, I will do verse 10. That's a part of God's will. Then he comes to verses 3 through verse 8, and really, as you can see on our notes, 3 through 8 is the introduction, all the way down to verse number 16. We have a discussion directly dealing with how you and I interact in a local assembly of believers. There is obviously some connection or context to the larger body of Christ, if I can put it that way, but the practical applications always deal with how we love one another, how we live out with one another here in the local assembly, in the local church. So verses 3 through 8, not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but to think soberly, or to think seriously about what God has gifted us to do in our ministry and life. He gives several examples of gifting that takes place in the body and how I'm supposed to minister and serve with those gifts. And then he says, and really this is a kind of a culmination, a high point, but also a stress point. This is the theme, verse 9. Let love, you see, as I'm gifted to serve the Lord, it should be done in love to my brothers and sisters in Christ. Loving the Lord and giving that love to one another through the gifting that God has given me. Let love be without dissimulation. It shouldn't be a joke. It shouldn't have a mask on. It shouldn't be hypocritical. I shouldn't say I love you and look like it on the outside and not really on the inside. It should be real. Let love be without dissimulation. What does real love look like? Well, thanks for asking the question. End of verse 9. You abhor that which is evil, and you cleave to that which is good. In our love for one another, we have to help each other conquer sin. Abhor the evil. Loving somebody is not tolerating their sin. Actually, it's helping them to overcome it. You say, well, that means I might have to say something about it. You're getting the point. True love is more concerned about that person's relationship with God than your relationship with that person. There are times when we, with all the love that we know how and great grace, try to help a brother or sister overcome sin in their life, and it's not well received. Yet we must take encouragement that we're striving to help them not meet up to some standard that I set for them, but help them walk closer to the Lord. The reality is, as they walk closer to the Lord, guess what happens? It builds our relationship with one another. As they are taking on the character of Christ, and I'm striving to live out the character of Christ in my life, guess what happens? We like each other a lot more. And be ready, by the way, believer, that some may notice the evil in your life and help you abhor it as well. But abhor that which is evil and then cleave to. This is the part that we just hang on to with one another. Cleave to what is good. All that is good. And who best describes good? Does not God? All that is good is what I cleave to. That's real love. So therefore, in the home, I discipline my children. Why? Because I want them to cling to what is good and abhor, hate what is evil. In the ministry of the local church, my life and my relationship needs to be about loving one another. And that love will always help that person I love walk away from sin and walk closer to Jesus Christ, being about what is good. There's the quint contest. So we have, this is God's will and this is body life. And then if you want to put in that blank, this is body life, put after that, love one another and serve one another. Those would be appropriate terms to put with those two things. Now we finally come to verse 10, and we have these twin challenges. So we find this discussion, Paul's thinking, it's obviously it's biblical thinking, it was actually inspired thinking, both here in Romans, and we'll see it, if we took the time, these are great past chapters, chapter 12, 13, 14. We see it demonstrated out, lived out in Romans, and then we studied it when we were walking through the study of 1 Corinthians on Sunday mornings. We saw it there again where there was this discussion of body life, how the members get along with one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're members one of another. And then following that major discussion is also discussion about love. The love chapter, chapter 13. And that's really somewhat the same theme going on here. I cannot be a good body member without demonstrating biblical love. So he comes here in verse 10 and says this, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. So the two phrases, and if you look in your Bible, there's a semicolon there between the word love and the word in honor. Those that splits the two phrases. We have here, Paul throws together nine, and here's a little some technical terms, prepositional phrases, I guess how best to put it in English. Those of you that are Greek folks, these are all datives, all right? Nine prepositional phrases that really have a strong thrust of like a command, an imperative. And they're all themed, and so the prepositional phrase gives us kind of the theme that he's going to talk about in relationship to love, and then he gives us the thought I need to do in relationship to that theme. He finally concludes, I believe it's in verse 13, with what's called an accusative of relationship as well. And that's the final of the list there, although his theme of loving one another in this body goes all the way through verse 16 in particular. So, you can see in my notes then, I've tried to give that sense as I've written down these two twin challenges that we have. So, first of all, in regards to brotherly love, so there's that prepositional phrase. So, when we're dealing with brotherly love, now this is the word, the Greek word, we get the English word Philadelphia from. We know that in the church, in the assembly, we are to demonstrate brotherly love to one another. It is that, it's similar to the love that we have in a family. And so he goes on to in a sense, heighten it. This is a really powerful building on this thought. In regards to brotherly love, be, and here's your blank, be family fond of one another. Be family fond of one another. It's like he's double emphasizing this idea that we're a family here. So if I'm going to demonstrate biblical love to my brothers and sisters in Christ, in regards to brotherly love, I need to love them, I need to be fond of them as I would my family. And there's a strong, in the original language, there's this really strong emphasis on the reciprocal love that we would understand between a parent and a child. I realize that as our children grow older, sometimes they, during those maturation years, they tend to have a sometimes, you know, I'm going to be kind of standoffish in my love to mom and dad. I won't demonstrate it outwardly as much. Lord willing, if you've got a godly home, that won't be much. And moms and dads, let me encourage you to help your kids, you know, those upper elementary kids, junior high kids, high school kids, to continue to demonstrate good love to one another and to you in particular as parents. I think that's biblical and right. But I'm enjoying some of that right now in those early ages with my two youngest kids, where, you know, mom and dad are almost, they're their heroes. God's designed them, wired them that way, and that's a joy. And so they look up to mom and dad and whatever mom and dad do. And of course, I have told you in my own heart with these younger ones, it's almost like I'm treating them more like a grandpa. There is so much love that just oozes out of my heart, if I can put it that way, that emotion. Absolutely loving, that wonderful tenderness that goes on between parent and children. Even in the midst of disciplining and training children, your heart is heavy when a child does wrong. And you nurture them and draw them back to a right relationship with the Lord. It's that kind of tenderness. We are to have that same type of tenderness with one another. Treat the older saints here as a parent or a grandparent with that same kind of tenderness and joy. I rejoice to watch my children demonstrating love to their grandparents. And as you know, they, in a sense, in our home, we have kind of like three sets of grandparents. And what a joy it is and blessing to watch that all happen. And there's this connectivity that the third generation, the children to the grandchildren, right? The children to the grandchildren. There's a unique connection there that the children, that generation just absolutely loves that third generation. We should do the same here. As we have opportunity to interact with people that are maybe younger than us, we treat them with the tenderness that we would with our own child. When a younger person bugs you in whatever way, if it was your child, what would you do about it? Well, if you're demonstrating love to your child, yes, you may rebuke, but there would be some fences set up. You wouldn't lose your control. You wouldn't just do it out of anger. And that's the same way I should do it with a younger person here. I should have that kind of family fond love towards everyone in the body of Christ. All right, then let's go on to that second challenge. So, in regard to brotherly love, be family fond of one another. Now, in regard to honor, this is very interesting. So, as you can see in the scriptures there, in honor, so in regards to honor. Now, the word honor here, I want you to understand, this is like cherishing another's value. So, in regards to me honoring every other person at Heritage Baptist Church, that's the idea that Paul is trying to stress here. So, I need to cherish every other person's value to God and value to our assembly. So, in regards to that honor, we need to be leading one another. That's actually the word preferring. We need to set the example. We need to show the way on how to demonstrate love and value, honor to every person. This is really the outgrowth of me showing family fondness to everybody here. So the question may be, how can I praise that person? I may see a lot of things that really bug me, that grate against me personally. But wait a second. I'm supposed to lead the way, letting others in my church family see how I honor that person. You see, you remember back in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we are to show kindness to what's called the uncomely parts. This is a similar idea and theme. I need to always find some way to honor every person here. Can we be open-hearted for a moment? All of us have been made by God to please Him. And when we know that we've pleased our Heavenly Father, it's a moment of great joy and delight. And yet, there is the difficulty that I don't physically see my Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ. So I have to find that commendation, that encouragement directly from the Word of God, knowing that I'm obeying it. Often God puts the church, one of the reasons God puts the church together is this. We become His spokesperson to a fellow believer to hear God's commendation of them. We know that our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it, right? Jeremiah made that clear to us. And so for us to evaluate our own lives, we often, unfortunately, have a too high regard of ourselves. And so it's helpful, and sometimes that's lived out by then kind of muddling in the water and saying, oh, I'm just terrible and raunchy and no good for nothing. Our sin can sometimes terribly discourage us. To have a brother or sister come along, and in regards to honor, show and lead the way on, you know what this is, I know God sees this in this person, and that pleases him. For you to be the one that verbalizes that and tells that to that person can be an amazing encouragement. And it builds our relationship with one another. I will tell you, as you at times would commend my ministry here, there are times where I feel very unworthy of it because I feel like I've struggled or I failed. Even that day I know I've sinned. And it's like, what am I worth? But then for you to say a word of encouragement, not only is it a pickup to my own heart in the sense that it rejoices my heart, but you know what it does? It endears me to you even more. I find that I want to better minister and serve you, and I want to be God's blessing to you too. Bottom line is I love you more. And if we do that with one another, we build this wonderful, unique body called the local church. And love is demonstrated. So, let me just give some explanation here in regards to honor, to be leading one another. This means that we will understand or appreciate, can you see on your notes there? We will understand and appreciate rank. These are all R words. So, just like in a home, a grandparent has rank, if I can put it that way. We give them certain privileges. If I can just be honest with you, mom comes to our house, and guess what? She has a peculiar way of doing it. None of the rest of us may do it that way, but mom, we love you, so you do it anyway. And we allow them to do that. We honor them because of their rank. Same thing should happen in a local church. There are obviously certain offices in a local church, and we should show honor and respect to that rank. There are those who are naturally gifted to lead in a specific area or with a specific group of people, and we demonstrate honor to that rank. As well, that goes in reverse, though. Can I put it that way? Those that are in leadership, and here's the challenge of my own heart. I need to demonstrate love to those who God has asked me to lead and not lord it over them. That's not my rank. No, I'm only to love them and shepherd hearts. And so I cherish them as a shepherd would his sheep, as a parent would his child. So that goes all the way back to that first point. I have family fondness. I demonstrate tenderness to everyone. So rank. That means I also will, in regards to honor, not only understand rank, but I'll understand role. R-O-L-E. Role. I will learn to love what that individual can do and has been given the opportunity to do. I'm going to use, forgive me, but this is where the rubber meets the road for Pastor Anderson, all right? And I hope this makes some good explanation. Obviously, I've had many years of experience leading in music. And yet, we have an assistant pastor now who is gifted that way. I need to make sure that I demonstrate and understand his role in the ministry here and allow Pastor Caleb to lead in the music. Not only does it lift my hands because it allows me to better study and prepare to do the work that God has called me as your pastor, but it also demonstrates my love towards him. Yes, in my heart of hearts, there are times I say, ooh, Pastor Caleb, we really need to improve on that one. And I could say, no, let me take over because I can do that better. That would be wrong on my part. How many times do we look at others and feel only that we could do it better and wish they would get out of the way? That is not understanding the role that each of us play. None of us should do all the work around here. all of us should do the work that God has given us to do here. Does that make sense? May we help one another and understand our roles and honor people in those roles. Thank your Sunday school teacher. Thank the nursery worker. Thank the junior church worker. Thank the youth pastor. Thank the usher. Thank the man who started your car the other day in the church parking lot. Do you understand? Those are roles that we can play and rejoice in. Thank the people that mow the lawn. Thank the people that decorate the church. That's the type of thing that we do in honoring our, the role. Then finally, the final R here. So rank, role, and ripeness. Yes, roll your eyes. Okay, there's another R word. I'm talking about maturity, but to get the R's going, ripeness. We obviously need to be careful to honor those who are growing in the Lord and understand where each are at. Don't expect our children to know all the truths about God that you know, adults. They need to still study God's Word. And so that they are failing sometimes to live out the truth of God's Word completely, don't be impatient with them. Be patient with them. That's honoring them and where they're at. There are times that you read a person that's been saved later in life, and you just somehow anticipate that the moment they get saved, they pick up all of this biblical knowledge, and they know how to act right, look like, right, be right, always know how to interact personally with everybody. And that really is treating that person without honor, because they need to grow too. They need to become riper, all right? Let us help each other along the pathway of sanctification and be patient with our brothers and sisters in Christ as they grow in the Lord. I ask you to be patient with your pastor. I'm still growing. There are plenty of areas in my life, just ask my wife, that I need, and I don't say that really in joking fashion, she knows, and she'll learn some more, I'm sure, over the next few years, where I need to personally grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Be patient with your pastor. Be an encouragement to him. Prod him along to help him grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. May we find ourselves honoring one another. Now, finally, we come to the conclusion. Twiddling about the application. One of the unique things about this passage, verse 10, is this. It on purpose is using the home as the foundational illustration of how we're supposed to act in the church. So here's my challenge tonight. Maybe you need to discuss this in your home after we get offline here tonight. How can I, since I'm sheltering at home anyways, and it's just us chickens, all right? How can I in my home demonstrate family fondness? Maybe young person, you're mad at mom and dad because they set down the law and you don't like it. Why don't you honor their rank, the role that God has given them as your parent, and be tender towards them? And the reality, that's lived out by being obedient with a sweet spirit. Not a grumbling spirit, not a bad attitude. Moms and dads, maybe that long-term patience, the kids kind of getting under your skin, it's like, man alive, what more can we do together? Be patient, tender, nurture them, bring them along. I encourage you, stop and twiddle your thumbs about this for a while and say, Lord, in regards to brotherly love, how can I be family fond to my family, first of all at home, but then my family here at church? You know, some believer here may just find it a real big encouragement if you'd send them a card while we're separated. Give them a phone call. How can I, Lord, in regards to honor, be leading one another? How can I demonstrate for our church family how to honor my brothers and sisters in Christ? Maybe you need to get something right with a brother or sister in Christ and lead in that way. Why don't you give them a call tonight? Get it settled. Maybe it is discovering a couple other people that you've just really never thought about that do a lot of work around here and sending them a thank you card and saying, thank you for your ministry. It's a blessing to me too. I encourage you, take some time to twiddle about this and learn some things. May God help us to be kindly affectioned one to another. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for the time that we've had together tonight. Thank you for giving strength to pay attention and listen and learn. Thank you for your word. So help us this week in regards to brotherly love, to be family fond of one another. And then as we live that family fondness out in regards to honor, may we lead one another. Demonstrate how to honor every person that you've brought together in this wonderful assembly called Heritage Baptist Church. May this be a place where clearly the love of Christ rules and reigns in our hearts and lives. In your name we pray. Amen.